Hey guys, my name is Zinu, and you're listening to Anti-Moonboy News. Yeah, we got a good one today for you guys. We're going to be talking about the latest Nothing Burger from Dennis Porter. A really historic Nothing Burger. So we're going to make fun of him. And we're also going to talk about the article from The Rage that sent some shockwaves throughout Bitcoin, alleging that Luke Dash Jr. is considering a hard fork. Is this true? Is it not true? We'll get into that in more detail. But first, we got some super chats. You can go to xmrchat.com/Zinu if you'd like to participate. Alright, so to start things off, I got a donation from XMR Family. And they give 0.09 XMR. Thank you so much for that donation. And they left me two comments. The first one says, need some Zinu sticker packs. And the second one says, get yourself a nice kitchen early. Having an organized cooking space is important for having good habits, speaking from my own recent moving experience. Well, thank you so much, XMR Family, for that big donation. Really appreciate it. Yeah, I actually moved yesterday, so I am pretty sore right now. Yesterday I felt fine, but like I woke up this morning, I was like, ugh. So I'm actually pretty happy because I did call out of work yesterday. I was just like, listen, I got like a bunch of errands I got to run still on Monday. I got a podcast to record, boss. I didn't say that, but I do actually have to record this. But also, like, I got to, like, organize a bunch of shit. Everything's in boxes still. Yeah, I'm not much of a cook, but you're right. Starting off with good habits will have, like, a big impact, you know? I totally agree with that. So after I record this episode, I'm going to do a little editing, and then I'm just going to go to the supermarket and buy a bunch of crap. We're going to start things off strong. No, I'm not much of a cook, to be honest, but I'm just going to go pasta, meat sauce. Easy. I can do that. That's something I can actually manage. So we're going to do that one. Okay. It's going to be nice. But anyways, yeah, yesterday was a success. We got everything moved in. The new place is awesome. And it's in a nice little quiet area. So it's pretty cool. I'm really, really excited about it. So unfortunately, I haven't even really been on the internet that much over the past couple weeks, but I think we'll have a good show today regardless. There's some fun stuff we can talk about in the meantime. So anyway, and you also mentioned need some Zinu sticker packs. Yeah, well, we need some Anti-Moonboy sticker packs for sure. So that will happen at some point. Absolutely. Just because like graphic design, art design is so important for me, like to enjoy things. Like I love like art. And so, that's why I've put so much effort into, you know, the artwork around Anti-Moonboy. Obviously we have the logo with the guy on, the horse, the astronaut with his, lance. But also, obviously, the Darknet Market Maximalism Camel. I mean, that'll pop on a sticker. That would absolutely pop. So that will eventually happen. The thing, though, and the reason I keep bringing up my merch and advertising for it is I need to sell more shirts, guys. So if you're kind of waiting around, now's the time to buy. Just because I want to make a purchase for new shirts like next month if I can. But the problem is if I don't sell any shirts, I'm operating at a loss essentially. And I'd rather sell like 10 more shirts before I make a purchase for more shirts. So if you haven't yet, go to antimoonboy.com/merch. I have two t-shirt designs and I got the camel, the Darknet Market Maximalism camel, as well as the Anti-Moonboy Genesis block. They're both $30 plus shipping and handling, or you can buy them both and it's $50 plus shipping and handling. So you can see all the information on there, and that would be really cool. If we can get like 10 more shirts sold for October, I promise I will make a new t-shirt design. I will spend some time and figure something out. And maybe have something for the Christmas season. Although we're kind of running out of time, to be honest. So, if you want to buy shirts sooner than later, if not, I'll try to have something at least for like the spring. But, I don't think I really sold any t-shirts over the past like 3 weeks. So it has died down a little bit. So you've been kind of waiting around. Now would be the time. So to the people who have bought t-shirts, thank you so much. And you can go on XMR Bazaar and look at the reviews. They're all 5 stars. So it's a high quality shirt. And I'm really, really happy with how it came out. Okay, that's enough shilling. Thanks again, XMR family. And moving on, we got a donation here from Daedalus, who gives 0.02 XMR. Thanks, man. And they say, "Hey, Xenu, great to hear that you are a fellow Catholic. What do you think of privacy layer twos like Aztec on Ethereum? Since I can't foresee Monero allowing tokenized stocks or commodities, could this be an avenue for holding these privately?" Well, thank you so much, man. I am Catholic. I gotta go to church more. There is a new church I was gonna check out yesterday, but I was moving in this area, so I'll go next week for sure, though. And regarding the privacy layer twos, like Aztec on Ethereum, I don't know anything about Aztec, to be honest with you. So don't really have an opinion on that specifically, or really of privacy on Ethereum outside of something like Tornado Cash. What do I think? I mean, I am in agreement that Monero is not going to have tokenized stocks or commodities. But because like that's just not going to happen. But also, I am not really convinced that tokenized stocks and commodities is a good idea. It seems kind of gimmicky to me, I'll be honest with you. And furthermore, privacy with tokenized stocks, I'm not exactly sure. Like, I can see, for example, like if somebody wants to have like some sort of, like a commodity like gold, I guess, but then I would just buy gold or silver. You know, like I've seen that with certain projects and it's like, well, we have tokenized gold. It's like, nah, I'm just going to buy gold because tokenized gold, it just sounds like, you know, the system we have right now, which is like it's like paper gold, right? I don't want paper gold. I would rather just have gold, you know, or you can buy like futures and stuff. I don't know. I guess maybe it could be tokenized, but it does feel a little gimmicky, I'll be honest with you. And with privacy too, like when you have like something that's backed with a commodity on the blockchain, it's very difficult. I haven't seen it work yet. You know, you have these like different like algorithmic coins and they either get they like fail at times, like, you know, with something like Haven, remember that project? They had multiple failures before they pretty much announced that they were no longer a project. I'm not convinced on it. I don't know. I would prefer just holding stocks like everybody else. Like, I don't even know how that would work with stocks too, like, because you run into like regulatory concerns. So like having it private, it just seems like a gimmick that wouldn't actually work in the real world, you know? Because like think of Monero, okay? Monero, it's just digital cash. And some people, like I think the people who are, you know, more on like the speculative side of things are like, well, why can't Monero do this, this, and this? And my reaction to that is because it doesn't need to. It's digital cash. It's a peer-to-peer cryptocurrency. You know? That's all it is. And it does that one thing really well. So then when you're adding in these other variables, I think it's a lot. And so that's like one thing I don't like about Ethereum is it just has a big attack surface. And that's why it has so many issues with like different hacks and stuff, because there's just a lot of different angles that it can be attacked from. And something like an algorithmic or like a tokenized stock or commodity, I don't know. I wouldn't feel comfortable holding something like that, as opposed to like just holding something that would be insured and regulated, you know? So, and that's not even considering what you're saying too, of like privacy layer twos. I'm just talking about, you know, like smart contract platforms in general. So I'm already kind of uneasy about that. Now you're adding in privacy on top of it, of some project I'm not really familiar with. Yeah, I my thoughts on it are pretty negative, to be honest with you. But that being said, like anything with privacy, obviously I'm not going to be like against, you know. So I think that's cool that there's different projects like this. And yeah, generally speaking, like Ethereum, I don't really have any negative opinion on it. Like I think that it's by far the best of the smart contract kind of blockchains, just because it has the most people working on it. It's got that recognition, that name recognition and stuff. It seems to be working pretty well. Maybe not price-wise for some people, but like I have seen it being used, you know. So yeah, maybe long-term, something like this would develop into a more, you know, vibrant economy. But yeah, right now it's definitely not something I would be that interested in. So I don't know, this is more of like a speculation thing, I guess. So yeah, maybe did that answer your question? Hopefully it did. But thank you again for that donation. I appreciate it. And lastly, we have a donation from Leo, who gives 0.025 XMR. Thank you, Leo. Nice to see you again. And he says, man, what's this article in The Rage on Luke? What a hit piece. Should we call it The Rag Now instead? Very sad they're siding with Back and other industry shills. People seem to forget Back is the one who crippled Bitcoin. Blockstream has shady links. Well, thanks again, Leo. No, I definitely don't think we should call The Rage of The Rag. Oh, that's pretty clever, though. Did you come up with that? That's good. The thing is, The Rage is by far the best journalistic company in cryptocurrency. It's not even close. Like, if The Rage is bad, like, what do you call, like, Coin Telegraph, you know? It's not even close. The Rage has been covering the Tornado Cash trial better than anybody. They've been covering Samurai Wallet. They've been covering all of these like regulatory things. And I've been featuring them on my program every week, just because there's no one else who's covering this stuff. You know, I would love to have Anti-Moonboy expand and to have Anti-Moonboy have like a journalistic portion to it. Maybe long term I can do something like that, but like right now, like I'm using what I can get access to, and The Rage, it's free. I would subscribe to it, to be honest with you. I would. But it definitely, I think you're being a little too critical here, calling it The Rag for sure. That being said, this whole controversy, we are going to talk more about this later. We're actually going to read the article too. The thing is, in this whole Bitcoin Knots thing, is that both sides suck, in my opinion. Like, they both suck. I don't like Core at all. I'm very against Core. I also don't like Bitcoin Knots. I'm very against them as well. I guess within this internal debate, I'm more on the side of Core, actually. But like it's more so that I think that the Knots side, they're kind of just doing theater, you know, like their whole relay solution, it's not actually doing anything, you know. I talked about this a couple weeks ago, where, you know, the nodes that they're running, these Knots nodes, what they do is they're preventing certain things from being relayed, certain transactions from being relayed. So for example, they'll see a transaction with a very large transaction size because it has all this extra information. Now the NOTS people are calling that spam. So they don't relay it. Their nodes immediately prevent that transaction from being relayed, right? The problem though is other nodes are relaying that transaction. And then that transaction gets put into a block by miners. So this is the thing, like the Bitcoin NOTS node that originally does not relay that transaction, later on then downloads that transaction anyway, because that transaction is included in the block. You're virtue signaling by running it, in my opinion, because you're not really actually doing anything. And I actually said this during my show a couple weeks ago. I said, listen, they should stop being pussies and they should hard fork, because then they would actually be doing something. So to be honest with you, I think they should hard fork. Like I think like that would be the best thing that they could do. If they want to actually be like, if they want to actually do something, they should do that. Because otherwise they're just pissing in the wind. And you're really like, you're kind of like making a bunch of noise about something that is kind of an aspect of peer-to-peer technology, you know? Like, obviously, CP is really horrific. Like, we're not arguing against that, but what they're doing is they're accusing anybody of running Bitcoin and or not running Bitcoin NOTS as being someone who's like a proponent of like CP, which is really fucked up because that's just not the case. You know, it's literally the same thing as like the government saying, oh, you're a terrorist because you're using cryptocurrency and we can't trace your transaction. It's the same fucking logic. Oh, what you got to hide, huh? You know? So you assume the worst and that's what you categorize that person as. What Bitcoin Core has done, and what Bitcoin, the decision that Bitcoin has made is they wanted the project to be ossified. This is really what, regardless of what you think about Bitcoin, they've made this decision. Maybe they haven't come out and said it, but like this is what's happened. They don't want to change anything. And what we have with Bitcoin is essentially a tech stock. The other thing, though, is they do also have these second layer solutions. And they have these soft forks. And so the idea with Bitcoin is like, listen, we have base Bitcoin created. And now we're going to have these alternate things on top of it that are optional. I disagree with this, but I'm at peace with it. It's what the majority wants. Fine. You know, I can't really do anything other than support the projects I like. And so with Bitcoin NOTS, they are saying, okay, we're fine with having like soft forks and stuff. We're fine with that. We just don't want to allow certain types of transactions. But the thing with Bitcoin NOTS is they are actually directly censoring private transactions, because Whirlpool, it actually needs that extra transaction space. And BIP47, you need extra transaction space for that. And Bitcoin NOTS is directly censoring those transactions. So here we see the negative side of blocking spam, right? You're actually preventing improvements on Bitcoin. You see what I'm saying? So like, that's a bad thing. I can't support that. And it's weird too, because whenever this comes up and whenever you like bring this up to like one of these NOTS, you know, retards, they're it's like in one ear out the other. They just don't understand. Or they'll say like, well, you can change the custom, you know, the settings and allow those transactions. Yeah, no shit you can, but 99% of people are not doing that. I'm not a fan of that, where if Bitcoin is going to be ossified and they're saying, hey, we got to like put stuff on top of Bitcoin to improve it, like with soft forks, you know, that are allowing these improvement protocols, that's totally fine. They can do that if they want. But if they do that, then you have to allow that space. And so what Luke Dash Jr. is doing is he's arguing for, you know, well, I get to choose which things I want to allow. So you're giving someone like Luke all this power to decide what transactions are allowed or what are not allowed. And he has, in the past, fought against privacy transactions, calling it spam. I mean, I don't like Adam Back at all. So, like, I agree with you that, you know, Back helped cripple Bitcoin. 100% agreed. But by the same token, though, if Bitcoin is down this path where they need to have, like, soft forks improve Bitcoin, then we have to make the best of the situation. And so by then crippling that further, then all you're going to have is a tech stock. And the majority of the people on the Bitcoin not side, they're not using Bitcoin all the time. So, yeah, again, I view both sides as bad in this situation. And to reiterate, too, I don't want Lightning Network to fail. I really don't. I'm just critical of it because it sucks. That's it. If Lightning Network stopped sucking, I would support it. But it's centralized. You know, I don't want to go down this whole rabbit hole because I'm going to be ranting here for another 20 minutes. But yeah, it's just not good. Now, anyways, regarding the rage, though, I will agree, though, that there is a bit of an ego with the rage that I've noticed from Lola Leetz. I think she's awesome, but she gets a little feisty. I think it was during like they had like a Twitter space, and she's very sarcastic when she talks. You know, she'll say, "Okay, it's your turn, Tiger," or something like that. Like, all right. On that note, we will wrap up the super chats. Thanks again, everyone. xmrchat.com/Xenu. If you'd like to participate. All right, let's do some channel updates before we get to the featured story of the week. There aren't really any. I mean, yeah, like I had said earlier, I moved this week and I'm still kind of in the process. So that's basically taking all my free time. And unfortunately, this happened last like Wednesday. My computer CPU just started overheating. Like way overheating. So it kept like shutting off. And it seems like my AIO cooler is not working. So I don't know if the pump is just defective or something. So anyways, I got to call them today and see if I can get some answers on that. I think it's under warranty. So hopefully I can get that figured out, but I literally can't even use my computer right now. So I'm recording this on my laptop. So because of this, I'm not going to be able to record any videos anyways for Anti-Moonboy, which does suck because I want to get to the Rito swap video, but that's just going to have to be delayed until I get this figured out. So unfortunately, waiting to hear on that. Oh, the other thing too, website's being worked on. RSS feed is also being worked on. I do think I have essentially the issue actually figured out. I just have to work with somebody to fix it, which I am. So once that gets fixed, I'll be able to get the RSS feed back up. Unfortunately, it's still down right now. So I apologize for that. Am still working on that. I have also heard that the website is having issues as well with loading. So I'm looking into that as well. So hopefully I can get fixes for performance issues as well. So sorry about that, but like I said, I've been so busy lately that it's just been kind of on the back burner. However, the really big story this week for this channel is that we are now over 1,000 subs on YouTube and over 100 on Odyssey. We hit both those milestones actually within 24 hours of each other. We hit both of them, so it was really cool to see. Thank you to everybody who did subscribe. I'm so happy with that. So that really made my week. So thank you again to everybody. And now the road is to 2,000. So if you haven't subscribed yet, you can join in on the fun. And I do credit a lot of the growing support for this channel to just getting out a podcast every week. High quality podcast. I think really people do enjoy that. So thank you again to everybody. And oh, looks like Robot is also here and he wants to say something. He's motioning to me and he wants to speak. Okay, Robot, well, what do you have to say?
Beep boop. I have a huge announcement. Breaking news. A seismic shift is about to occur in Anti-Moon Boy. Beep boop.
Okay. What's the news?
Beep boop. Things will never be the same. Beep boop.
Okay, well, when you are ready to tell me, you can tell me the news, and you can tell our listeners as well. Anyways, we now have to talk about the featured story of the week, Dennis Porter. Oh, Dennis. So yeah, if you haven't been following my channel, I've been ragging on this guy, Dennis Porter, for quite some time. In actual fact, he is the first annual Moon Boy of the Year. It's the coveted prize that I hand out on this program. And at the end of 2024, I bestowed this award onto Dennis Porter for you know, really representing the Moon Boy. This guy is a total piece of shit. He is everything wrong with Bitcoin. Really, just absolutely everything wrong with it. And so his whole thing is he is the founder of this lobbying group called the Satoshi Act Fund. He's the CEO and co-founder. And basically what he does is he goes to politicians and he shills Bitcoin. That is his whole thing. Now, he became well known because he was the main voice behind these Bitcoin strategic reserve bills being proposed around the United States. And he had a role to play in a lot of that. And as we saw, none of these bills passed. Or at least they didn't pass like he was saying they would. The meme of this cycle has absolutely been these strategic reserve bills. You know, we have a Bitcoin president now, right, guys? That everything's going to change. Nothing's changed. There was never any Bitcoin strategic reserve made. The privacy laws regarding cryptocurrency are worse than ever. Really, the only thing that has changed is that now we have lobbyists behind certain projects promoting their projects to politicians who say, oh yeah, sure, give me that money. Yeah, this project's cool. And that's it. Also, we have stablecoins. that's basically, this is the difference between the Trump administration and the Biden administration. So, well, we have more support for stablecoins now. Like, that's basically it. So anyways, Dennis Porter, he has become a meme because what he will do is he will say something along the lines of huge breaking news. Oh man, breaking news, huge. And the news will be just a nothing burger. You know, like, oh, this bill passed. This is huge for Bitcoin, right? And then you read the fine print of the bill and it has nothing to do with Bitcoin. In fact, he has said this about bills, which literally in the fine print don't even mention Bitcoin. And he's saying, oh, it's a Bitcoin strategic reserve bill or it's a Bitcoin bill. It's like, no, it has nothing to do with Bitcoin. It's about digital currency. Or digital assets, excuse me. These are the majority, if not all of these bills are just about digital assets. They're not actually about Bitcoin, which is fine, by the way. I'm not even against these bills passing. Some of these bills have actually been pretty good overall. They're very good for like buying and holding Bitcoin and even using Bitcoin in some cases. So it's not all bad, but this guy, he is a grifter and he is using the hopium from people to make money. He is essentially a Moon Boy grifter, is really what Dennis Porter is. And so anyways, back in 2024, I had to give this guy Moon Boy of the Year because he came out of nowhere. I had not heard of this guy before. And it was like every week I was seeing something posted by this guy that was totally ridiculous. And I was like, wow. I thought this guy was a piece of shit last week, but he keeps outdoing himself. He's even more of a piece of shit now. it got worse and worse. But then, after Trump took over, none of the bills passed. Or at least very few of them did. It was a big nothing burger, and he got awfully quiet. And I actually even mentioned this multiple times on my show, like, oh, I haven't heard from Mr. Porter in a while, you know? This guy and Looney Lummis, our favorite senator. Also have not heard much from her as well. Very quiet lately. And yeah, the reason they're quiet is because they have nothing to talk about. It's been very sobering for a lot of the hopium crowd in Bitcoin because they're realizing that, oh, this is just another tech stock. We're not really exciting to people anymore. And we're seeing the diminishing returns take place. So that's Dennis Porter in a nutshell. And so anyways, I hadn't heard about this guy in a while, but then last week, I started seeing all these tweets from him. And it started, actually, I don't even know when this started. He's probably been tweeting this for a while, but I have a tweet here from September 18th. And he said, something massive is coming for Bitcoin next week. We have an opportunity to change the course of history for Bitcoin in the USA. It's that big. Flag emoji. Then September 20th. This is in all caps, by the way. This is all caps. I'm not going to scream it. But he says, huge news coming this month for the protection of Bitcoin developers. We are winning in the USA! Exclamation point. American flag emoji. He also says, and this is in all caps. Just assume these are all in all caps, by the way. He says, big, big plans coming for DC. We must make Bitcoin a priority. Flag emoji. He then says, oh my God, this gets more and more ridiculous. Massive political news coming for Bitcoin Tuesday that will shape the trajectory of Bitcoin politics. This will be a defining moment. American flag emoji. Now, I actually did see that tweet. And I'm like, okay, maybe he's cooking. Now, maybe Mr. Porter is cooking. You know, I'm looking at this like, okay, he can't be just saying that, right? He then, next day, September 21st, it's going to be a massive week. September 21st, 48 hours away. September 21st, just got off a critical call, and I can tell you that you are not bullish enough yet. Bitcoin is winning. I'm starting to get pumped up here. I'm reading these tweets. I'm like, oh shit, what has he got here? September 21st, in less than 48 hours, Bitcoin politics will never be the same. September 22nd, he tweets, in less than 24 hours, Bitcoin politics will never be the same. Flag emoji, all caps. Unbelievable. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I doubted the GOAT. I doubted him. I doubted Dennis Porter because I did not. I actually was convinced he had an announcement that was actually interesting. I'm sorry. I doubted the GOAT of the Nothing Burger. I actually thought he had something interesting to say because I listened in to his announcement. I'm gonna admit to you guys, I listened to it because I was kind of intrigued. I was like, well, maybe he actually does have something interesting to say. I doubted you, Dennis, because this was the biggest Nothing Burger of all time. So what I did, I listened to the announcement while I was working. I had my headphones in. And I was actually even a little excited. I was a little excited to see what could possibly happen here. I fell for it. And what actually ended up happening is he ended up endorsing a pro-Bitcoin Democrat for governor. That was the announcement. And this guy is a literal who. His name is Ian Calderon. Yeah, I mean, even I was pretty impressed by how much of a nothing burger this was, but this guy's the GOAT, man. You gotta give him credit. Now, he announced this on a crypto town hall, or at least that's the name of the show. So I was at work, so I tuned into this. And as an aside, man, it's weird listening to these shows because this is a whole world of Bitcoin that I am just not in. You know, it's really a roundtable of these boomers who really could be on CNBC. They could basically be on CNBC. They're talking about, you know, the price of Bitcoin, projections. What do you think about the Fed? They had a whole discussion about how well, if we don't have Bitcoin bills passed within the next couple months, is it going to be hard in 2026 for people who are, or the politicians who are trying to get reelected? Are they going to shift gears, guys? Ugh. Really horrible stuff. I can't believe people listen to this shit. But anyways, they had a whole roundtable of these fucking boomers talking about, you know, Bitcoin macro, you know. There's this one guy too. You gotta find this clip. So it was Crypto Town Hall. There is a recording on Dennis Porter's Twitter. I'll link to it. I'm not gonna re-listen to this, but I swear to God, there's this one guy, and because they like went around and like they had like 10 guys. Each guy had like 5 minutes, and there's this one guy who was like, yeah, I made some charts about Bitcoin. And he's like, well, my first chart is a little unrealistic, but I think this is what Bitcoin's going to do. My second chart is really unrealistic, but I think Bitcoin could get there. My third chart is highly, highly unrealistic, but Bitcoin could do this in the future if it does this, this, and this. And my last chart is insanely unrealistic, but I think Bitcoin could get to this point. And I swear to God, that was the content of the shit that we were hearing on this show. Like, fucking hell, man. Totally different world. These guys probably have absolutely no interest in any sort of privacy rights, any sort of usage of Bitcoin. It's a tech stock to these people. And to reiterate, I don't care if people buy and hold crypto as an investment. That's a completely legitimate use case. That's not a problem. So like I don't mind that shows like this exist. It's just that Bitcoin is overwhelmingly run by people who care about these shows. And they don't care about shows like mine, for example. I'm not even on their radar. And that's fine. I don't want them to listen to my show. Okay. But it's more of like a commentary of like what cryptocurrency actually is. So when you see people like talking about how Bitcoin's gonna change the world from an idealistic perspective, you need to have that in the back of your mind. Because that idealism, it doesn't mean shit when you're just talking about number go up. The idealism, it's in the trenches fighting, you know, regulations. It's getting delisted. You know, it's causing problems. If you're not causing problems, what are you doing? You're status quo. You know, you're playing by the rules. Anyways, so I had to listen to this show for like 30 minutes. It was terrible. But then, so they're talking in the show. They're like, well, we got Dennis Porter coming on. He's a little late. This fucking guy, of course, the ego on this guy, he has to show up like 30 minutes late to like let the suspense build even more because he's been hyping this announcement up for the whole week. So we're waiting on Mr. Porter here to come. And each guy on the roundtable too was like, yeah, well, I'm really excited to hear what Dennis Porter has to say. You know, he wouldn't just be saying something like this. So then finally, Dennis Porter comes on the mic. Sorry, I'm late, guys. So then they're like, well, Dennis, what's your announcement? He's like, okay, guys, well, before I get into my announcement, I want to talk about who I am. And I swear to God, this guy then went into a 5-minute, you know, spiel about who he is and how important he is. Like, totally huffing his own farts. Like, ugh. I had to listen to this guy talk for like 5 minutes about how he knows Bitcoin politics better than anybody else. He's in the trenches, guys. He's talking to everybody in government. He knows that this is huge for Bitcoin. He wants to make it very clear that he knows better than anybody else that he knows that this is important and blah, 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 blah. And then he finally is like, okay, with that out of the way, let's get to the news. And then he starts talking about some guy he knows in California who's running for governor, and that this guy likes Bitcoin and that he is endorsing this guy as governor of California. And that's the announcement. The seismic shift that's going to change Bitcoin forever. It's like, does this guy not fucking realize that we have a president that's pro-Bitcoin? Did he forget about that? Did he just like completely forget that Trump is like pro-Bitcoin? So his announcement is this guy, Ian Calderon, who is not going to win. He's like way behind in the polls. And he likes Bitcoin. He's a Democrat and he likes Bitcoin, which is contrary to most other Democrats. But and he's running for governor. But I mean, This guy is a literal who. No one's ever heard of him. And he basically, and by the way, the show that was airing, it had like almost 10,000 listeners. Like there were a lot of people listening to the show. Because, you know, truth be told, like there's this hanging anxiety right now from people because Bitcoin is not performing like it should be performing. And the cope right now is the, what is that? The M2 chart. The M2 chart shows that Bitcoin should rally at some point, and it probably will. But even if it does, like it's still pretty well behind how some people have projected it. And so people are like pretty desperate for something to change. And what they're quickly realizing is this whole narrative that they've been sold with the government being pro-Bitcoin, it was just a narrative that doesn't hold any weight. And people are like, they're starting to realize that now. I think this is like the perfect metaphor for Dennis Porter. This, like this announcement here, nothing happened. He made a big fuss of something. He makes himself look like an idiot, but by extension, he makes Bitcoin look stupid. Everyone around this guy looks dumb now. So the program I was listening to, the crypto town hall, they didn't even interview this guy, the governor. Because so what ended up happening was Dennis Porter does his whole fucking introduction. And then Ian Calderon comes on. And he gives like a 10-minute campaign speech, like a very general, I'm a politician. I'm tired of seeing how things are in California and we can make a difference. Burr, burr, burr. Like it's like the fucking cookie cutter, like... And it's basically just a campaign advertisement for like 30 minutes. And there's this other girl there. I forget her name. I mean, it was like really bad. And so afterwards, like you saw Bitcoin Twitter very much react. Everyone's got to block this guy. And that's fine, right? Like I'm fine with people ostracizing this fucking idiot from Bitcoin. I'm fine with that. But I want to make something very clear here, okay? I'm talking to the Bitcoin people. You guys are why people like Dennis Porter even had a platform to begin with. Okay? This guy's an idiot. Yeah, well, go back a year ago, you were all huffing his farts. Maybe not all of you, but a lot of you guys were. Okay? This guy has been enabled, and he represents the majority of people who are in Bitcoin right now. And whether you want to believe that or not, it's true. He is preaching to a choir. I think it's a good thing that people are starting to like see through this bullshit. I really hope that shift changes. And you know, really what is going to emphasize this is the price of Bitcoin, not just pumping all the time. But to be very clear, the only reason Dennis Porter even has an audience is because he has been enabled since day one. And it's not just him. Look at all the top speakers at Bitcoin right now, at these conferences. They're all people who love Dennis Porter. Every single one of them. Hell, we were talking about Adam Back earlier. Adam Back like fucking talks about these insane price projections all the time on Twitter. It's really cringe. And like this moonboyism, this is what has destroyed Bitcoin. It's people who are huffing on the hopium and not like looking at practical ways of improving Bitcoin. And that's really the issue. This was hilarious. I recommend people, if you want some comedy, listen to that town hall. Just the way that they were all like so excited for Dennis Porter's announcement. And he comes on and you could just feel the air just suck out of that room. They didn't even interview the guy afterwards. They were just like, they just ended the show. Because I'm assuming the people who are on that town hall were probably like, that's it? Like, yeah, I mean, like, what questions can you even ask there? You know? Absolutely embarrassing. And I do have to say, too, like, with Bitcoin, I really do hope that we see a further continuance in the price maturing. And I really firmly believe that if we see the price kind of level out and we just have some calmness, you know, with the Bitcoin price, not these insane pumps, that maturation will help a lot with at least the development of Bitcoin because, you know, the moon boys will be a lot less vocal, essentially. But as more time passes and as the majority of Bitcoin holders become, you know, more and more normal, right? Where they're just people who aren't really making that much of a profit. The more that happens, the more you're going to see a shift where people will not be as obnoxious when it comes to the price of Bitcoin. And I really think that's when Bitcoin will improve. But until then, we have these grifters who are unfortunately at the front of it. And that's why Michael Saylor, he's the Pied Piper. He's in the front. But then his like first lieutenant is someone like Dennis Porter, who is doing everything to make an ass of himself. So anyway, that is that. Oh, it looks like Robot finally wants to talk again. Robot, do you have the announcement that you wanted to give?
Beboop. The announcement is here. Anti-Moonboy will change forever. This is a defining moment. Beboop.
Yep. Okay. What's the announcement?
Beboop. Well, I can tell you that I have spoken with a very high-ranking politician who says that they have heard of Bitcoin and they like it. Beboop.
Okay, and who would that be?
Beboop. It was the summer intern working for the town comptroller. Beboop.
Well, that is just a seismic shift in the world of anti-Moonboy. Is that right, Robot?
Beboop. Yes, he may like it or not. I'm not really sure. He said that he likes Bitcoin. Beboop.
Hey, well, there you go. Thank you very much, Robot. I appreciate that. Always a pleasure having you on the program. And yeah, all right, let's move on to the next thing. We're on now the Rage. The Luke Dash Jr. controversy from the Rage. So basically, as I talked about earlier in the program, there were some leaked DMs from Luke Dash Jr. where he apparently is thinking about a hard fork. So we're going to read this article and say a few words. I mean, I already kind of commented on this, but the article starts. There has been an ongoing dispute between supporters of the alternative node implementation Bitcoin Knots and supporters of the reference client Bitcoin Core. The dispute originally evolved out of Core's consideration to increase the op return size in order to prevent non-monetary transactions from using more harmful methods on the blockchain, such as data and unspendable amounts, while Bitcoin Knots proponents argue that non-monetary data, first described as spam, has no place in Bitcoin, and that Core developers should not optimize for it. To combat said spam, the Bitcoin Knots client, maintained by Bitcoin Core contributor Luke Dash Jr., implements what it describes as filters, in which transactions which communicate non-monetary data are kept out of the Knots node's mempool. Over the past year, the discussion around Knots filters has grown increasingly out of control as the narrative changed from protecting node operators from spam to protecting node operators from hosting child sexually abusive material, CSAM, an argument that is technically unfeasible as long as node operators continue to run any node that follows the current consensus rules, as all nodes must host the same data once a block is approved. In private messages shared with the Rage, Dash Jr. now appears to concede that policing the mempool is insufficient to stop nodes from hosting theoretical CSAM. Instead, he proposes the implementation of a multi-sig quorum on Bitcoin that grants a designated group of people the ability to retroactively alter data that is hosted on the blockchain. By Dash Jr.'s description, the trusted multi-sig committee would review transactions and replace any data it identifies as CSAM with a zero-knowledge proof. Node operators would then remove said data from their nodes, altering their version of the blockchain, while continuing to be able to prove that the transaction that contained the affected data is valid. Right now, the only options would be Bitcoin dies or we have to trust someone, Dash Jr. writes. The proposed solution would require a consensus change, activating a Bitcoin hard fork. In follow-up messages, Dash Jr. reveals that public letters are being drafted by third parties to seemingly support the sanctioning of illegal content on the entire Bitcoin network. On advice of Ocean's lawyer, the mining pool founded by Dash Jr., Knots team decided that it is better if the letter not be perceived as coming from us, end quote. When asked for comment by the Rage on the proposed hard fork, Dash Jr. asked, "You're writing an article on completely unfounded lies?" Dash Jr. had no further comment for the Rage. Dash Jr.'s proposal raises immediate concerns on altering the permissionless nature of Bitcoin, effectively invalidating the blockchain's inherent censorship resistance. If the trusted committee enables node operators to remove CSAM data, it also gains the power to remove any other form of data it deems unfavorable. In effect, Dash Jr.'s proposal could place node operators at risk of criminal penalties for non-compliance with the committee's request for the removal of data. By setting the precedent that transactional data can be retroactively altered via a trusted committee, law enforcement may begin to demand censoring entire transactions they deem illicit, arguably opening the door for the enforcement of KYC/AML. As Dash Jr. anticipates in the shared messages, the handling of illicit activity on Bitcoin is an active debate amongst policymakers, miners, and pool operators alike. The authenticity of the material we received was verified via video proof. For transparency, we're sharing the relevant messages we obtained below. And then they post the messages. I'm not going to read through these. You can read the messages yourself. But yeah, that is the article. So the thing about Bitcoin Knots, you know, it's not really doing anything. It's all theater. And so if they actually want to prevent what they determine as spam, they have to hard fork. So I'm not surprised at all that they're having discussions about this, even if it's just hypotheticals. And to be fair, these are DMs, right? This isn't like official discussion. So this was a bit sensationalist. But I'm not surprised at all that they're having these conversations because, like, it's theater what they're doing right now. It's literally wear the mask. It's not actually doing anything. But if they were to hard fork, they actually could effectively do what they want to do. And so we have a really interesting dilemma here, because if they want to just continue virtue signaling, they'll just continue doing what they're doing. And I think that's quite likely. But if they actually want to censor transactions how they want to do it, they would have to then hard fork. And so this is really what's being discussed here. Now, it's not lost on me, though, that this is like a foot in the door for KYC AML. You know, if you really want to keep Bitcoin completely safe, you don't want any type of bad things on the Bitcoin blockchain, well, you need regulation. And I can see this slowly creeping into the mindset of people who support Bitcoin. This kind of like, to protect ourselves, we need to work with law enforcement and the government. And this idea is really bad for obvious reasons. Because like with many other things that infringe on our privacy rights, usually the angle that governments go for is terrorism and, you know, CP, right? They use these topics because how can you argue against that, right? And so what I can start to see here is you're having a lot of Bitcoiners rationalize regulations as a very good thing. To protect their Bitcoin investment, they're willing to compromise on their ideals. This is a very common theme we see on Anti-Moonboy, where Moonboys want to hold on to their investment by any means necessary, and they will bend the knee if it gets them there. And what I think we will start to see is more and more of support for something like this because they don't want their investment to go down the gutter. And yes, this is kind of foreshadowing of more and more censorship happening on Bitcoin. Because yeah, federal law enforcement, they're going to look at this and say, you know what? Why can't we censor Bitcoin? If it's possible, why not implement it? Why aren't they working with us, right? And if the core team is approached with this from law enforcement or, you know, government regulators, will they actually put up a fight? Because I'm not so sure. Yeah, Bitcoin has really just become neutered over time. And I don't really see Bitcoin fighting back that hard against encroaching government regulations. So something like this, where you're having people discuss through DMs, like, well, possible ways we can censor the chain, I can see these discussions happening not only with Bitcoin Knots, but also from government regulators. And what happens when a government, you know, official, you know, approaches the Bitcoin core team and says, hey, we want to have censorship on the blockchain. We want to support Bitcoin, but, you know, we also want to prevent bad things from happening. We want to prevent illicit transactions. How about we work on, you know, having regulation on the blockchain. I would hope that this would be pushed back against, but I'm not so sure. Because a lot of people want to preserve their investment. And this is really a running theme that we have noticed on this channel. When you have people who are, you know, married to their cryptocurrency financially, right, where they depend on Bitcoin number go up, they will compromise. They will bend the knee. And this is really problematic. So I encourage people to check out these DMs, confirm it for yourself. And yeah, I could see this happening. I really would not be surprised, because you know the nodes, the relay, you know, solution that they're pushing forward isn't really a solution. Luke Dash Jr. here admits it. So, anyways, that is the Bitcoin discussion. We got a couple Monero things to touch on, then we're gonna wrap things up. The first, Ruckneum posted a breakdown of the 18 block reorg. I actually haven't read this yet, but it's 20 minutes long, and he gives a deep dive on exactly what happened and what it means. Ruckneum is one of the best researchers we have, if not the best. So you can check that out. I will link it in the description. But if you're looking for, you know, more information on what this 18 block reorg is and what it means, definitely give that a read. This week, Tevador posted a new selfish mining mitigation called Share or Perish. The introduction reads, the previously proposed Publisher Perish has some shortcomings. With the default parameter K equals 3, it cannot prevent deeper reorgs like those that happened recently. Increasing K comes with a risk of non-trivial chain splits. Even with K equals 3, partition recovery with POP, Publisher Perish, might take over 20 blocks in some cases. This is a new proposal, Share or Perish, SOP, partly based on POP and combined with the idea of work shares, which I previously dismissed due to their high cost, but this proposal presents parameters with acceptable costs. Similarly to POP, SOP is a soft forking proposal that only introduces a new fork choice rule but doesn't affect rewards or common consensus rules. SOP should be much more resilient to long reorgs and has better partition recovery time than POP. So there's a hole right up here, but this is awesome stuff, right? Where we have this ongoing research going. So it looks like this guy, Tevador, who's been really active with his research, seems like he has kind of looked into this workshare thing that was proposed earlier and has combined it with his publisher parish idea. And this is the latest thing, and I've heard a lot of positive feedback on this. So give that a read if you can. It gets very technical. But some really cool stuff here. And this is what we're kind of seeing with Monero, where slowly but surely, even though things were looking bad for a little bit there, our researchers kept researching, right? They kept working. You know, this is not something we're just going to give up on, guys. And so this seems like a very promising latest proposal, and we'll just keep an eye on it, and we'll follow the debate as things go forward. And lastly, MoneroCon is probably not happening in 2026. At least the MoneroCon team that is, or and has worked on the past couple of years, I guess they're having difficulty organizing that for 2026, and it looks like they are focusing on 2027. So I'm disappointed by this because I really wanted to go. So who knows? Maybe we'll have a Xenupalooza instead. But anyways, guys, we're going to wrap things up there. Thank you so much for listening. AntiMoonBoy.com. If you want to send a super chat, go to xmrchat.com/Xenu. Appreciate all the support, fam. But I'm heading out. Have a good one.